Before we get started with today's show, I want to note during this time of social isolation with no games to watch, it's not just the right time that's churning out content for you. ESPN Podcast is adapting to this new normal, and just this week there have been new episodes of ESPN Daily, The Woj Pod, The Hoop Collective, Sports with Katie Nolan, The Bill Barnwell Show, and Baseball Tonight. You can listen to all of these and more wherever you get your podcasts. What if a quarterback completed 4 out of 5 of his passes? Or a point guard hit 4 out of 5 shots behind the arc? Well, now, when you're hiring, you can play at that level. Because 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. No matter the industry, healthcare to manufacturing to business services, ZipRecruiter makes hiring faster and easier. And today, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter doesn't wait for the right candidates to find you. ZipRecruiter's AI scouts talent for you. First, when you post your job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job sites. Then, ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right skills and experience, and invites them to apply to your job. So you get qualified candidates fast. And now, to try ZipRecruiter for free, my listeners can go to ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BOMANI. ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening. Wherever you get your podcast, rate us, review us, give us 5 stars, you can give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to believe you are, in fact, a hater. It is that time of week where we have a guest on joining us live also from New York City, other side of town, which might as well be a world away because we can't go outside. Check him out on The Daily Show. Roy Wood Jr. What's going on, man?
Looking like I am legend outside.
Yo, it is. And I don't even know what it looks like outside down your way. It don't quite look like I am legend up here because I live in Harlem. And as I was explaining to somebody the other day, if you need to social distance, you kind of need to get out of your house if you live with 6 people.
I ain't even seen a rat outside.
They heard.
Even the rats went back down to the tunnels. Dude, Cuomo's out there handling business. This one, I knew it was bad. Cuomo unbuttoned the second button on his polo. I was like, oh,
did you see the nipple ring, the alleged nipple ring?
Yeah. You know that man, but he's lived a life.
He's 62 years old. Like, when did he get the ring, if that is a ring, that really, really, really looked like it was a ring?
A lot of people said that it was tape because, oh, the shirt is rubbing up against it. Well, then just wear a t-shirt. Wear a v-neck underneath your shirt if you're having problems with the shirt rubbing you raw. Yeah. That's a nipple ring.
That being said, I'm a little confused as to how it is you go to any Target in America and there's so many undershirts, but these white dudes ain't wearing none of them.
I think it's all brothers and mechanics. Them the only people I see in white tees.
But I don't understand how everybody doesn't do the undershirt. It's so helpful.
You know, when I started wearing undershirts for real was in high school when I started sweating through my good Tommy Hilfiger. I worked double shifts at Baskin Robbins so I could afford one Tommy polo. And then you start sweating through that thing. You like, yo, man, I got to preserve this. I got to wear this on Saturday. It's Tuesday.
Yo, good shirt. Right? Like the notion of a good shirt, I feel like it tells me a whole lot about how you grew up. If you're like, yo, man, that's my good shirt.
That's the one that I'm going to wear to the school dance next Friday. Like you would buy a shirt the beginning of the month, plotting on it for 3 weeks from now. Wouldn't even touch it. Wouldn't even take the tags off of it. Lay that on the bed a couple times. Look at it. Walk around it.
The problem is with the good shirt is that, like, once you have the good shirt, every time, like, you ever see that episode of The Simpsons where Marge had that Chanel dress, and then she kept getting invited to all this fly stuff, so she kept having to flip the Chanel dress over and over again? That's where you wind up with your good shirt. It's like, oh, damn, I got invited to something else.
You gotta accessorize.
It's the only shirt I got.
I'm like that with blazers now, like these little tuxedo I'm starting to get invited to more tuxedo functions than I care to own tuxedos, and my girl is trying to put me on the Rent the Runway. Which I guess is you just borrow clothes.
Yes.
Which is what rent the, hey, let me borrow that jacket for a couple of days. I get it back to you.
It's the next level of Genghis.
Yeah, it's literally that. That's probably going to be the future because I can tell you right now, I ain't finna buy no more clothes. Like that. We on quarantine. At least, you know this finna, you know we finna be cooking for at least another 2 months. Whatever they saying on TV, they keep adding to it. So I don't believe anything they say on TV. I just double that figure.
Yeah, that's fair.
Cause a month ago they said it'd be, oh, 500 people. All right, 100 people. All right, 10 people. Stay at home. But just for the, it's Easter. All right, May. So, you know it's going to be August before anything get back normal. I'm not finna buy no clothes right now. Summer wardrobe, please.
Well, here's my other thing on it, too, is people say it'll be like insert time here before we get back to normal. Nah, it'll be insert time here before y'all get back to normal. I think I might give y'all a couple weeks to go out here and see what y'all, you know, how this is going to go. And then maybe I come back. We go come back to work. And look, this is something I don't think has been discussed adequately neither. What you gonna have whenever we get back to normal is a whole lot of people going on vacation at the same time. Everybody is stacking up that off time right now. Cause why take vacation? You at the crib, right? People stacking up that off time. So like if they say like August 1, we back to normal, ain't nobody going to be at work on no August 4.
And you know them plane tickets going to be $37.
Yeah.
Them plane tickets right now, man, they at prices I don't trust. Like that ain't even a tank of gas. It's 8 of us on this plane for $30. No.
Yo, them $30 plane tickets are making me ask a question, which is, how easy is it for them to actually turn a profit on a flight? Because if it is worth it for them to offer a ticket for $30, to me, that seems like we just ain't gonna have no flight, right?
$30 is the airline equivalent of saying, please, baby, take this flight. I'll do whatever you want, baby. Come on, baby. Let me make you feel good. Like, that's literally what that's literally what Delta is saying to you. I think the figure, what was it? It costs, they make $100,000 per flight if it's full. Mm-hmm. If it's full. So they're losing money, but you can't not fly because you need that plane to go on the next route to take the next three people. So they've already grounded like 50% of their fleet. A lot of, there's a cool picture at the Pittsburgh airport where American Airlines has all of their planes just parked on one runway. It looked like when the rental car, it looked like a car dealership where it's just 94 Tauruses all in a row. It's just that, but it's just a bunch of DC-10s.
By the way, shout out to the flight attendants, because let me tell you, the last person I want to be around in a pandemic, the moron that's buying the $30 plane ticket. Right. Like that's not who I want to serve. That's not who I want to talk to, right? I'm not, like, this is obviously a reckless individual.
Excuse me, ma'am. Could I have some more peanuts?
And I bet they be demanding. I bet they're like, yo, what's taking you so long to come over here? You ain't doing nothing.
I can tell you right now, if I'm on a plane, I'm getting in a lie flat seat up front.
Yeah.
What you going to do?
Yeah, you're not, going to make me go sit in row 30. That's
you
not.
You going to move me?
I'm not going to row 30. I'm stopping at the first open seat I see. It is this one right here. And yes, I would like some cashews and almonds.
They said they're going to stop food service. They're going to stop. They don't bring drinks around no more, man. Whatever normal people think pre-COVID, that ain't going to be the normal we going back to.
I'll tell you this, too. You tell me if I'm wrong here. But I don't feel like there's a whole lot of need right now for all that, like, TSA surveillance. Like, you know how mad I'd be if I'm one of the four people that's at the airport and you're making me take my shoes off?
Hell, they got it, too. TSA been coming down with the COVID.
Yes, there is that, too. There is that. But I'm just saying, like, if you are trying to blow up the airport and you doing it when it's five people there,
you ain't making a statement. This ain't a good time. This probably the one time we ain't got to worry about terrorism.
No.
Because there are no groups of people for terrorists to mess with right now. We all at home, terrorists. Can't get us.
Nope, nothing. You can't even do nothing on the subway. Oh, no, did you see that crazy thing the other day where the subway caught on fire at 110th
Street? Yeah, man, a brother lost his life, an MTA employee trying to save lives, man. Rest in peace to that brother.
No, that was the one where I saw that, and I was just like, what in the world is going on? Like, that was the first thing that made me truly feel like we were in, like, the apocalypse.
It's like, oh, right, New York is shut down, but there's still regular crazy. There's still regular random,
yes,
random New York crazy still happening. Help me settle an argument with my girlfriend.
Okay.
We're talking ripple effects of commerce in this country. Right now, everybody's ordering their groceries, right? Mm-hmm. So the way groceries, everybody know the way groceries is set up. Instacart, Amazon, whoever, they bring the groceries to the house. You, the grocery provider, pay a pinch to Amazon, right?
Right.
If I'm the milk company and I'm making milk and Amazon is pinching off my jug of milk that I'm selling to you, why wouldn't I just put my milk in a truck separate and apart from Amazon and take my own appointments and the milkman just comes back? We're already at door-to-door groceries again. So the only way to compete is to chop it down to product. You're going to have the bread man again, the milkman coming back. Pretty soon you're going to have door-to-door vacuums because ain't nobody going to go to Best Buy or Sears to buy a vacuum. So you may as well have everybody finna be knocking at your door. I think that's the future.
Yeah, the scale is bad on that though, right? Like that's where the issue is. The scale is bad if all you do is slang milk, right? You're going to have to put some eggs. You have to put some butter in the truck. And then we're going to wind up back in the place where we are now, which is basically, you know, some third party just come pick up a bunch of stuff from a bunch of people and then go drop it off.
Dairy truck, fruit truck, bread truck.
Yeah, I think it's just going to be a truck with a bunch of stuff, right? Like a rolling bodega.
I don't know, man. There's a bunch of dairy farmers in Wisconsin are starting to throw away milk. They've already thrown out thousands of gallons of milk because it's not selling, because there aren't offices buying milk for the coffee pot. And then a lot of people, milk is one of the first grocery expenses they cut because milk is right up there. Milk costs more than a gallon of gas. It'd be cheaper to drink a gallon of gas with your cereal.
Yeah, not as safe.
If you want to be serious.
Not as safe, not as good for your bones.
It might be spicier though.
Yeah.
You don't know. You ever had gas?
It's a fair point.
Could be tasty. So I feel like if you're throwing out this milk, why not just sell it for cheaper? Just put it on a truck, man. Drive that thing around.
I can see that.
I'm probably wrong. You know, she's a black woman, so I know she know what she's talking about.
Yeah. I have to admit, I am kind of leaning toward her. And when you started with settle this dispute with my girlfriend, my immediate thought was, I have nothing to gain from taking your side. Right? I got all the win from taking hers. I make a new friend if I take hers.
Fair.
Yeah, man. How's a little homie handling this? I've seen him on the internet with you a couple times, you know.
Yeah, here and there, man. He's good so far. You know, a kid, he's 3, so he don't understand the concept of homeschooling. And so the preschool we got him in, they do this little, you want to see some chaos? Watch 9 3-year-olds all trying to talk at the same time, conference call with their teacher. 2 of the kids freezing. 3 of the other kids singing something else. Another kid crying. It's chaos. But, you know, he's dealing with it good so far. The trick is just figuring out ways to get him outside to get the energy out, man.
Yeah. Because,
you know, he's 3. It's like owning a Cocker Spaniel, man. It's all energy.
By the way, I feel like with the Zoom, and you let me know because I don't have kids, so I'm not here like witnessing these things. But I feel like you're getting a glimpse into who does and does not have good parents. Right. Like yes. We have to acknowledge not every parent is good. Not everybody is like it's a particular skill set. Not everybody is very good at it. I saw somebody say on Twitter that the teacher got on the Zoom to talk to the parents and was like, yo, I just want to let y'all know that, you know, the classwork because of the circumstances, you know, we're not going to hold the grades against the kids. Right. And this one lady said, well, if that's the case, she won't be doing any more of these assignments.
I'm sorry, what? The mama said that. If this don't help her grade, ain't no sense in her learning.
Right. I'm just saying that was a glimpse to realize, like, whose parents is really out here doing a disservice to the kids.
Crazy talk. My son, we are learning. I've been put on to 2 apps that I think are really good. For in terms of stimulating the mind and all of that stuff, and they have a curriculum that the kids follow. Cause that's what I needed. I needed structure. Like I know my son needs to know stuff, but I don't know the order of when you're supposed to learn things. Like I was trying to teach him how to scramble an egg. He ain't good with no gas stove. So let's come back to that when you're 6. You're clearly not ready for that, but he can count to 100. He can name all. We was learning multiplication. I don't even think it's time for that at 3 years old, Bo, but I was, you know what? Sit over here, man. I'm going to tell you what a transmission do in the car. We learned about penguins.
You tried to teach him how to scramble eggs at age 3.
Just the scrambling in the bowl, not at the stove, but he couldn't comprehend just the bowl. He wants to do it at the stove, too. And I'm like, you ain't ready for the stove. So since you can't separate the two operations, you are not ready for either one.
That makes sense.
We'll come back around. You know, he ain't got that wrist motion yet. They ain't got no dexterity at 3, Bo.
Yeah, that'd be eggs all over the kitchen.
He can't whip that egg bowl the way gotta have a wrist, man.
I know, but we do that in advance. That's why I'm looking at you like, why'd you even put him in this position to fail?
Because he over my shoulder all morning. What you doing? What you doing? You know what? Go get your stool from the potty. Come on. I'll show you. You get broken down after 2 weeks.
I hope you blast that stool before you brought it in the kitchen.
Not the potty stool, the step stool. Man,
all the same, I'm just saying, if that's where it's kept, you can't, like, you know, you can't, no, not the same place. I ain't never been in a bathroom that had a just-in-case burner over there in the corner.
He got a good aim, all right? Stop sizing up my boy.
Okay, no, that's all good, man. That's all to the good. I saw you got a little Instagram situation going now. What's it, the Tip the Waist staff?
Yeah, man. So myself, comedian Mike Birbiglia and John Mulaney, basically what we're doing, we're raising money for displaced wait staff of comedy clubs across the country. It is fair to say that most comedy clubs will not survive this. Period, point blank, full stop. And I know that the stimulus check is coming. We don't know when, but it's supposedly coming. But until then, people got to pay bills. There's a lot of states that still haven't suspended rent payments. So we just thought it'd be cool, man, if comedians got on IG Live, we just start talking about jokes that we can't do anymore because of Corona and just bouncing ideas off each other while at the same time raising money for the waitstaff. So if you go to tipyourwaitstaff.com, it's a collection of GoFundMes for various comedy clubs across the country. If you see your city, donate something, man. Give a little something, a little chunk of change. Even if you can't, pass the link on to somebody who you think can. The other thing we're doing Saturday, now this wasn't me, this is Comedy Central. I don't even know if this is public knowledge yet, but they should have said something by now. Forget it, I'm going to say it. We're doing something called Comedy Gives Back. It's going to be like a 7 or 8 hour streamathon of just some of the biggest names in comedy. And we're raising money to put into a fund for stand-up comedians who will be out of work. So we're just a community looking out for each other. As much beef as you think comedians got with each other, we don't want to see nobody out on the street, even if we don't agree with what you did.
Yeah, y'all ain't got beef with each other. Y'all just don't like anybody. It just so happens that you don't like all the time like each other.
Yeah, that's probably part of it. That's why like the Bill Cosby versus Eddie Murphy stuff seems so normal now. Like back in the day, you go, wow, a comedian didn't like another comedian. Now you're like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense. Dane Cook versus Louis C.K. Mike Epps talking crazy about Kevin Hart now and then. So it's like, it's pretty commonplace for there to be some bickering within the community. But yeah, we're going to do that on Saturday on all the Comedy Central channels.
Yo, this is kind of touching on something I was curious about where, you know, we see the DJs, right? They out here doing their thing and spinning the sets. And now we see the producers do these battles. And I find it very interesting, of course, that everybody's battling now except for rappers. But I had a thought that I was like, yo, if you a comic, right, you can come out here and do it. But then I remember something we had talked about before, which was the comedy club is a place where you like fine tune and get the tone right before you give it off in front of the world. And I was like, oh, this, the idea of IG comedy might be a little bit risky.
Comedy is the only art form that's created in front of the consumer. Everything else is prepared and rehearsed in private before it's presented to you. With the exception of maybe improv, which isn't nearly as risque in the sense of people getting in trouble. I don't know what comedy going to be after this, because I think it's just got to start small with the hole in the wall rooms and the open mics. And I think that's where comics are going to have to go to get their wheels back on. And honestly, if the bigger venues are going to be used for hospitals and triage, all those arena comics and all those concert acts, they're going to have to come back to the club level. So it's going to, like, everybody's going to move down a notch. So wherever you are on the comedy totem pole, you go down a notch in terms of accessibility to venues to perform at. So it's just going to be a struggle. It's going to be, you know, a hustle all over again. Did you see the Manny Fresh Scott Storch?
I didn't see it, battle? But I've seen recaps.
They said Manny ran sketches between his mixes.
Yeah, he was dissing Scott.
What? Calling him out about his demons that he's overcome. You don't call out nobody about supposed addiction issues and money issues, man. Just spin the records.
Yeah. I saw that and I was like, wow, man, he seems like such a like jovial, upbeat kind of guy, right? He showed up on Highly Questionable. We had an interview with Juvenile and he showed up in a white denim jacket and I believe white jeans also just because he wanted to see Poppy. He was really that excited about Poppy. And so, Hey, you know, I'm from Houston, man. Like, I'm all about Manny Fresh. Manny Fresh ain't give a damn about me being there. Juvenile enjoyed that far more. Manny Fresh just wouldn't see the old man.
Juvenile, seeing Juvenile out and about, it's like watching Kenyon Martin in a way.
Yes.
Where it was this person that was badass, and when he was there, when he was doing it at his prime, nobody could touch him. And now he's just happy. Yep. He's just happy, just legitimately cheerful.
Yeah, he's in a good place.
Yeah, it's like, oh, wow, okay, Juvie, happy. Yeah, got my son, everything good, man. It's like, all right, well, good for you, man. I saw him backstage at Essence Fest a couple of years ago, and he, like, was legit rocking out to Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Just supporting the new generation. I was like, oh, okay, that's what's up. That's cool, man.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about something, things we ain't sure are going to survive. Essence tried so hard to be like, no, we're going to have a festival. Don't you worry. We're going to have a festival. Look, we know you not to understand why you got to. Because like a whole lot of things like this. Look, if people ain't so sure that South by Southwest is going to survive this.
South by was closer to when the bomb hit, though. Essence isn't until the first week of July. And right now, current projections are saying that the curve will be flattened somewhere around late May, early June in most parts of the country. The problem that Essence is going to deal with is that New Orleans right now is starting per capita to have more deaths from COVID than New York City.
Yes.
So New Orleans is still on the rise. It's a matter of when does New Orleans come out on the back end of that? When do they peak?
Also, number two, I feel pretty confident saying this. If you think Frankie Beverly's taking his old ass down there to go perform in this, you guys, I'm not performing. Like, if I'm on the level of the people who don't really need the money right now to do this, I'm just stacking check on top of check. Like, if I'm Mary J. Blige, hell no, I ain't going down there to do this.
For people who've never been to Essence Fest, they have the big arena in the Superdome, but then they have these lounges
right. And
all of these side rooms where you're literally shoulder to shoulder. Oh, there you go. Essence Fest 2020 postponed.
Oh, they did. I didn't know that. I didn't know that it happened.
Looking at it, I was trying to look at the lineup to see who was going to be the old black people to not show up.
Nah, because last I heard, they was like, the show must go on. And I understand all these show must go on, people, because the rest still going on. Like, I get why everybody's like, nah, we ain't giving up on this money till we got to, but I'm not here to help.
Yep, it is postponed.
Frankie's like, nah, ain't no Essence if it ain't no Frankie. Frankie ain't coming.
Hang on, you got me reading this damn press release from them 6 days ago. Based on developments over the past couple of weeks, including updates from our city and health partners, we are officially announcing that we will move the 2020 Essence Festival of Culture closer to the fall. And that is from Essence.com.
Yeah, so they're going to try to like move it to Labor Day weekend? Because a significant part of this is that it is on a holiday weekend.
It's got to be a black people holiday. That's the 4th, Labor Day and Memorial.
Yeah, yeah. But everybody, and I get where all these people are coming from. We not going to say no money until we absolutely have to say no money, because you can't uncancel, right? You can't unpostpone. Once you do that, that's done. So I ain't even like really getting on people for being greedy and all that stuff about it, just because I get that that's what you got to do. But man, even if you decide to have it, like the NFL talking about they trying to have these games in the fall, y'all let me know how that go, baby. I'm going to be right here.
The NFL has the best chance of any of the big four.
Yes.
NFL has the best chance of still going forward. I think the NBA is just going to come down to a free throw contest on Skype. I think you just put both teams on Skype. You seed them out 1 through 8, and then you just upload a live IG live free throw contest.
You see the dudes try to have a 2K tournament?
I know.
They're going to put it on TV. I already saw it on the bottom line on ESPN. They got seeds. I want to see it for the dudes losing their minds. And apparently Tyrann Mathieu and Tyreek Hill of the Kansas City Chiefs were playing Madden, and they did it online and they broadcast it, and Tyreek was killing the Honey Badger. Mm-hmm. And then at the end of the game, he's up by like 30 points. He scores a touchdown. He goes for two. And instead of going for two, he just starts running backwards. That's what Tyreek Hill did to Tyrann Mathieu. And Tyrann Mathieu, he did what all of us have done at some point. He quit.
He threw the controller. There's this league that I'm ashamed to say that I've watched 2 games of. The Simulation Football League. It's some random esports channel, and all they do is show, it's not even Madden. This thing looked like Madden 95, graphically speaking.
Right.
And they have a play-by-play, and they have a guy doing color, and it is 2 men commentating on electronic video game football. And I'm sitting there like a Twitch viewer, happily watching the Seattle Redhawks versus the El Paso Dragons. It's just random cities, but random. It's not normal, man. I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel here, but you know, I'm desperate for sports.
My homeboys in college used to get high and then turn on the Nintendo 64 and put in the wrestling game. It was the Royal Rumble game, in fact, and they would be high and they would watch the Royal Rumble on Nintendo 64. They would simulate it. They would not play it. They would simply watch it. And I just never knew what to make of that.
CPU versus CPU.
Yeah, exactly. I just found that to be like, damn, man, I wish y'all would like, please go hit y'all's books so we could all graduate, right? Like that would be my thought at that point, but that's what they was doing. And who knew, man? They was the future, right? It's 20 something years ago. And they were like, nah, like actually there's going to be a time where this is what people do.
And people are like desperate for it. I wonder if ESPN will bring back that Madden tournament game they used to show in the middle of the afternoon after and one.
Yeah.
Remember those days?
Yeah, I can see that. Like, I'm kind of like, everybody keep talking about all these things they want ESPN to bring back. You know, the top of the list of things I want ESPN to bring back?
High noon.
Me. I want them to bring me back. I don't need them to be out here talking about, like, yo, what are these other things that we could come together? How about something for Bow Body? How that sound? Cause look, they play at Texas USC tonight. Cause they got all the archives. They broke out the Jordan documentary. They gonna put that up a little bit earlier. You know, like one thing about ESPN, if you know the history of this company over the last 40 years, they are always ready to just throw something out here. This company was built largely off of pool. Bigfoot. You remember Bigfoot? Yeah. The monster truck.
Yeah, monster truck. They had the billiards with the Black Widow.
That's right.
Who used to come on and do all the billiards. That's what I learned. Pool was called billiards. I didn't even know what the hell billiards was. I'm a black kid, grew up around black people. It was pool.
Yes.
You shoot pool. Then you get on TV. It's an eight ball billiards tourney.
Yeah. Whatever you say. And by the way, history indicates you'll watch all that they put on too. Like I ain't trying to like flex on y'all, but history indicates that people who watch these games, are you ready for the Jordan doc?
Yeah. I'm curious to see how honest people are going to be in it.
It sounds like they are. Like my understanding of how it all came together is they're not wasting time with it. That people are here to do what need be done, including to some extent Michael Jordan.
How honest is Jordan gonna be? Because he's a very secluded person. He's very competitive.
Hey Gabe, can we after the fact add in the elevator music? Okay. So
thank you for your patience. A representative from the right time will be with you shortly. Your current hold time is
15 seconds.
I'm curious to know from you, you are from Birmingham, Alabama, where Michael Jordan lived for a summer. Like, you got any Mike stories from his time in the 205?
No, not many. I worked at the rehab hospital where a lot of the players. So at the time in the 90s, I was a food runner at the hospital. I was the dude pushing the food cart, going room to room. And I did it at the rehab hospital where James Andrews did a lot of those surgeries on athletes. So on a random day, you might see Troy Aikman hobbling down the hallway or Vlade Divac or something like that. And there were rumors that Jordan came through once or twice, but nothing really that crazy other than, oh yeah, he bought a bus for the whole team. Jordan would do low key stuff in Birmingham where he would like go into a restaurant and then just pay for everybody's stuff and then leave. Like baller, like just straight. That's how you went over a city when you're Michael Jordan. He came in the Red Lobster and paid for this. You know, this back when Red Lobster was still a more high class.
I got news for you. It's still high class to somebody. It might not be that high class to you, my brother, but it's still high class to somebody.
I try to tell it to the youngest. Red Lobster used to be the Cheesecake Factory of the era.
Yeah.
We go to Red Lobster, we go together.
Yeah, boy, I never forget, man. Cheesecake Factory. I am a harsh judge of the Cheesecake Factory. It's all right. It's simply all right. But when I was in college, that's where they wanted you to take them, which made me not want to take them.
Just out of defiance?
The music had a different tone in 1997.
Oh, touche.
Big boy.
My issue with Cheesecake is the same issue I have with Red Robin. It's too much stuff on the menu. You can't do all of this good.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's all bad, but I'm just saying all of this can't be good. You can't do tacos and cheese grits and waffles and chicken wings and sushi and barbecue slot. It's too much.
Yeah. And you probably, like, McDonald's has all that stuff out there, but I forget what exorbitant percentage of all that stuff is still Quarter Pounders, Big Macs, and Chicken McNuggets.
Yeah, you do all of that, but this all we sell.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, let me get a number 3, right? Because otherwise you have cats in there like, can I get a number 39? You know, there's too many numbers. That's too many numbers. Now, I want to see the Mike doc because I'm hoping for the honesty because I just find Mike to be hilarious, right? Like the idea that this man exists in the state of nature. Every day I just wake up looking to win stuff. That's all.
It's interesting how they have to focus this doc just on one part of his career, which I do like. That excites me rather than trying to go, you know, in the end, because you're not going to hit everything, even with 10 episodes.
Well, I will say that if this thing is 20 hours, it's got to be using that season as a way to tie back to the other stuff, right? Because ain't no 20 hours about no one basketball season. I don't think.
I'm going to ask a dumb question because basketball is my third favorite sport. 72-10.
That's
was
96.
That was the fifth championship, right?
Fourth.
That was the fourth. Okay.
72-10 was the fourth. They went 69-13 in the fifth. Like, that's the thing that kind of gets lost in this. They almost won 70 games twice in a row.
Again. They averaged it.
Right. Their letdown season was a 69.
Nah, no real Jordan stories. I do know that I wasn't impressed with his swing.
Oh, well, that's right. You're a baseball player.
Yeah, I'm a baseball guy. I was looking at that swing in high school. I was like, there's hope for me. I was still wrong because I got to college and still couldn't hit nothing.
But that's what I was about to say. Hope for you. Would you go work on your jump shot enough to where somebody lets you play baseball?
Bro, I need to send you this clip of me from a couple months ago. I was in Chicago for All-Star Weekend and somehow ended up at the Cubs batting cages at Wrigley, taking BP 90 miles an hour off the pitching machine, couldn't even see the ball, if I really want to be honest.
How excited were you?
I was excited till I started missing them damn swings, and then I was embarrassed. I was like, man, I'm ready to go, man. Let's go home.
Yeah, I remember for me when I realized that baseball just wasn't going to be my thing. Now, part of it too was like I did some grade skipping, so like Little League goes by age. And like by the time we had gotten to high school, I had not played enough baseball at the level that was ever going to be required in order for me to do that. But I do remember one time, man, it was a night game and I had always been good at the lower levels because like the kids ain't got no control. You just got to get on base and be fast, right? Like I was a monster at the thinking portions of the game. But I remember standing there, man, this kid threw me 3 strikes at the knees. I think they were down the middle. I couldn't see well enough to be sure. And I was just like, nop, 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 nop. Because I was never going to be able to swing it in the pitches with no confidence. I was trying too hard just to see them.
I went to Florida A&M because their baseball team finished last in the MEAC the year before, and I thought it would be easier for me to walk on. That's a true story. It didn't have nothing to do with my mama going there, my daddy teaching there, none of the pedigree or the educational opportunities that they had to offer. I just knew I could walk on. But what I did not know at the time, because I didn't do no research, is that every Division II baseball team is just a collection of scholarship players from Division I who wasn't getting no playing time. And it's also JUCOs who ready to make that jump over to the four-year educational institution. I got to that school. I saw and I say this respectfully. I don't want no racism canceled on me. I saw my first Latino breaking ball in college. Now, you have to remember Birmingham in the 90s was just very black and white. There wasn't a big Latino population in the state. Like we had the one Latino student in the ESL classes or whatever. So there was a Guatemalan dude named Marvin Martinez, killer at soccer. We loved him. That was the only Latino I met until baseball tryouts at college. And some dude from Latin America stood up on that mound. I don't know, man, one of them island breaking balls, but money, I couldn't see it. And tryouts at, I don't know if this is every black college, but at Florida A&M, your batting tryout was 5 swings. He didn't care whether or not you hit the ball. I just want to see your mechanics. I can tell from your mechanics if you got a chance. Man, I whiffed at everything. I was working at Shoney's 3 days later.
Yo, the other thing about black college baseball I'm always curious about is the white dude that loved baseball so much, they come to FAMU to play it.
Yeah. Well, you know, most black colleges are predominantly white baseball teams.
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
Bethune-Cookman been running the table with nothing but white players and Cubans. Ain't no black people. Black people can't afford it. It goes back to what you say. You have to play it year-round, which means you need a mom and a daddy with disposable income to drive you up and down the freeway all summer. You can't do that in most homes. Like, most black people just, it's just not set up like that.
Yeah, so, like, anytime the white dude comes to the HBCU, I just want to know, like, so how this, like, tell me more.
Yeah.
And, what are you, and how are you for? And how are you enjoying yourself?
What are you here to do?
Right.
Exactly.
Right. And the thing about the white dude at the HBCU that gets lost is it ain't never the white dude you might think is going to the HBCU, right? Like, we ain't talking about Dante DiVincenzo, right? It'll just be a white dude, regular old white dude.
We had two white dudes that ran cross country on scholarship. Their names were River and Ocean. And they look exactly how you envision.
Did they
Granola
not know?
Granola bar in one hand, one of them long, what was them long skateboards with the wheels on it? We had never seen nothing like that in our life as black people. Like, what that is? What kind of skateboard that is? It's a long board. I know, it's a long skateboard. Where you bought it? Like, we didn't know.
My question is, did they know before they got there?
I think they did, but you could just tell they were just raised differently. They were just raised in a place where everything is love. We love everybody. And we accepted them too, because they weren't trying to wigger it up on campus. They were just themselves. And because of that, he was like, oh yeah, that's River and Ocean. What up?
Yeah, no, that's all we need. We don't require very much, in that regard, right? Just come kick it as you kick it. I tell you this, my, summer before my freshman year of college at Clark Atlanta, we did the summer program, right? And so it'd be like Upward Bound. Right. They was up in the house. Bridge is in the house. You know, so it's like, you know, lots of kids, high school, some, you know, some
young achievers and
right,
all of that.
Right. Some people who are going, well, some young achievers and some young kids who just need to see some other things other than the life that they see all the time. Right. But it's just, it's all black folks. And it was this one white dude. If I recall, his name was Chris Whitehead. He was from Natchez, Mississippi, and he was the one white dude as far as the eye could see, right? Because like the state HBCUs, there's some white dudes walking around campus because it's cheap, right? You could be in state. You might live with your mom at the next neighboring town, but Clark cost 16 G's a year at the time. Ain't no white folks paying those $16,000 a year to f*** with us.
No,
that's not how this works, right? And so he's the only white dude anywhere to be seen. And the first night we all move in, they decide to have movie night in the lounge. For you kids in college who may not know this, back in the day, there would be a lounge where everybody would hang out and basically watch Rap City.
Yep.
The white dude is in there. And what's the movie? A Time to Kill.
Oh, no.
That's the movie. That's the movie. No. And in fact, it is while we are in there watching A Time to Kill that I noticed that the white dude is here. And I will love that white dude forever. Never forget it. He just sat there the whole way and just watched the damn movie. Yeah, because I wasn't watching the movie at that point. Nice. I'd already seen it. That was the movie. He was the movie. And I just looked over there at him, and he was just posted up in the front. Just watched the whole thing. Kicked it with him all summer, man. He was
respect.
Real cool.
Respect, man. It's like white people who don't leave a Paul Mooney show. You're like, you can handle this heat? You all right? Like, Paul Mooney would, like, give people, like, free shirts or give them, like, pay for their check or something. Like, if white people stayed the whole show through a Paul Mooney comedy set, you all right with me, white boy? Give them a t-shirt.
Now, one of my contingencies, though, for, like, my white friends, this is a very important thing. You got to be willing to come do this black stuff with me, because I don't think people notice this, right? When you hang out with your white friends, you normally meet them in white spaces. And so you go do all the things that you do in those white spaces. Nah, man, you going to come kick it with me sometime? Oh, no. We not going to that Pour Some Sugar on Me club. We about to go over here. They play Doo-Doo Brown down this way. This is where we are going, right? This is how we truly bond.
There was a club in Tallahassee called the NEC. It was run by some Jamaicans. There was no uniformed security whatsoever. If something happened to you in here, there was no help that was going to get to you in time.
Yes.
And I'd be damned if I didn't see River and Ocean in the corner chilling. Drinking a Budweiser. That's how you know they kept it real. They was just sipping it too. It was like, no, we gotta run, but I'm gonna be here. I'm gonna just drink a beer. I'm not gonna do shots. I'm like, man, y'all all right.
But that's extra dope, because it's not like in Tallahassee they couldn't just go find someplace to go kick it with other white people. There's a whole nother school right over there.
Florida State, 5-block walk.
Oh, go to TCC.
Oh yeah, now that's gangster. That's next level. I remember, man, the TV room in the dorm, My biggest memory from the TV room in the dorm. So backstory, we had a dorm RA during the day who was like the official person that watched the building or whatever. Then at night, we had this dude, Big Lou, and Big Lou, RIP, was this like 6'6" brother, probably 330, XO lineman looking ass dude. And he was a vice principal at a high school during the day. So he would come from the school, go home and nap, come to our dorm at like 8:30, and he would sleep. He was one of them black people that sleep, but he listening. So he would have both eyes closed and just mumble something. Y'all be quiet out there. Turn the TV down. And so we're in the dorm one night, and it's the night that Tupac died. And so Ed Gordon comes on BET Nightly News. We regret to inform you, Tupac Shakur. Like, that was our Lester Holt, right, back in the day. It was Ed, Video Soul would go off, and then you get BET Nightly News, and then you get Caribbean Rhythms with Miss Rachel. Or, yes. What was it?
Yes, Rachel, where, like, she was an original. What bag did she come out of? That's all. Did she a first ballot? What bag Hall of Famer? We had no idea. No clue.
So Ed Gordon announces that Tupac Shakur has died from his gunshot wound 7 days ago. And this is the East Coast, West Coast beef was real tough. And there was one dude in the TV room that was from New York, and he stood up and he gave a round of applause to the news that Tupac was dead. And four cats from LA saw him give the round of applause, and they look at him. He look at them, and Big Lou is just sleep. Like, you can tell he knows what's happening. He just cracks open his eye. Take it outside if you're going to do that. right to sleep. Because he knew he got to get his ass beat. Just don't kill him. But if you're from New York and you clapping in front of LA cats on the night Tupac died, it's going to be a fight, and I'm not going to be able to stop this fight. So please just take the fight outside.
Yo, that's the dumbest thing anybody has ever done, right? Like, the best case scenario for that is a fight.
Everybody from the South was staying out of it, because that was the rise of Outkast and Goody Mob. We was just starting to get our moment. So the South was kind of Switzerland on that East Coast. You had a preference over Pocket Biggie, but I'm not going to fight you because you clapped because Tupac died.
Yeah.
But the dude from L.A., he got a fight. He was wearing Chucks. I have to fight you.
Yeah, I got news for you, just so you know. When it came to the East Coast, West Coast beef, the West Coast starts at the Texas-Louisiana line. By the time you get to Houston, somebody was willing to die for Pac. Like, you would have clapped because Tupac died. You wouldn't have made it out that room, baby.
Oh, it was not an intelligent move. I always wonder about people like that and see how they turned out in life, but I don't take the time to Google them.
Wow, we've been rolling on this. This has been a highly entertaining, like, 45 minutes or so thus far.
Man, it's good talking to you, brother. It always is a pleasure.
I'm trying to think what the hell else is going on, man. I'll be in here doing yoga now. I did some yoga this morning.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man.
You didn't gave. I'm sorry for the disappointment in my tone.
Look, man, I am highly inflexible. I need to improve my flexibility. I need to open up my hips.
I can't hate on you. I'm watching video game football.
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to, like, I really was just looking for, like, a stretching routine on the app, and then it turns out that it's yoga, and it seemed to be doing some work. And so I'm like, okay, cool, right? Like, let me tell you, my goal, man, after this is all over, I'm going to be out here looking like Bruce Lee.
Yo, everybody coming out of quarantine ripped. Now, I ain't started my regimen yet. I saw one of them 30 sit-ups in 30-day, this how you do 200 crunches by day 30. Routines. I'm gonna start one of those pretty soon. I just been trying to focus on my writing, man. Make sure I can get some scripts together, because I don't know when I'm gonna be able to tell a joke again in the comedy club. So I need to be able to sell a TV show.
No, this is a wild thing for anybody who's made their money off the scale of audiences, right? Like, it's the idea that I can do this one thing and thousands of people can come see it, and therefore I can make the money off of doing this one thing. And we got no idea when thousands of people are going to be able to get together. And by the way, after thousands of people can get back together, we're going to have to go back inside again.
Yeah, because flu season coming right back around on your ass. Like, this, the one thing that this whole corona shit has exposed is just how much we hang out as a society.
Yeah.
We don't really be doing. When you look at the order in which they announce closings of, all right, no more sports. All right, no more concerts. Stop going to the club. All right, Disney World closed. All right, you know what? you don't need a haircut. Don't go to the barbershop. The only reason you get a haircut is so you can go hang out.
Right.
Like, everything is just tied to hanging out. You don't need to shop. Why? Because you don't need to look good for nobody. You ain't going nowhere. Clothes Macy's.
By the way, since you want to get a look at this Clyde Drexler right fast, no. I ain't got a cut in like 3 weeks of change. This is what it would be. Yeah, man.
But see, you could go bald if you want, man. You can shave that thing all the way.
You know, I live in the bald head space. Yeah. But since I ain't got nowhere to be, like, I just let it go for a week. And then I was like, well, let's just see how this ultimately turns out. And I want to see how long it takes me to get like a full on, like, world be free sort of situation. But I got to say, for this to have been 3.5 weeks of growth of hair, I am realizing that I just ain't got it in me like I used to, even in the places where the hair still grow.
Dude, I'm going to show you a picture offline. I'm going to post it one day of the one time I tried to give myself an edge up.
Oh, no.
In high school. Man, that thing looked like the Louisiana border with the water. You know how Louisiana just all jagged all over the place on the water? That's how my thing was looking, man. It literally looks terrible.
Would you let your queen cut your hair?
Absolutely not.
Smart man.
Absolutely not. I have clippers here at the house. The problem is I left my edges at the Daily Show. So I can cut the dome. I just can't edge myself up. And they had already closed up the building. So I don't know what to do. Like, I'm more concerned for my son because he got a video chat with all these other kids. And you know the other parents be looking at the video chat and be judging the kids.
Yeah, but some of them parents going to be trying to cut their kids' hair themselves. And they're going to be wishing that their kids had no cut. I contend. No cut, greater than bad cut.
What if I just shape it? Like, you can't mess up a shape. I got guards. So in theory, but I'm scared. His hair is dense. I don't.
Yeah. And like, I understand this is your son. This is your pride and joy, but you strike me as an honest kind of father. Like, what kind of dome are we working with here? Are we working with some symmetry? Is this going to be best for him?
It ain't going to be best for his head as big as mine, too. So you know, he got the weapon of hair to reduce his head size, and I don't want to deny him that right now. His daddy lost that battle a long time ago. Maybe you give him just a trim,
just to make sure that indefinite article is very important to throw in there.
I don't know. Sooner or later, we're going to have to leave the house and go get some hair juices from CVS or something. Have you seen the video of the lady in Florida wearing goggles with a snorkel?
I have not.
There's a picture of some woman in line at the grocery store. I don't know if it's a prank or somebody being silly, but she got goggles that cover up the nose and a snorkel. And the snorkel going straight up. So she breathing the air that's coming down from the top and not that air that's coming right at you, which I really think is not that intelligent in the first place. I think we're going to look back at a lot of these prevention methods for trying to stop the spread of the disease and really laugh at ourselves at how silly we look as a country.
We might look silly, but I tell you this, ain't none of that stuff that people are doing to try to not catch the virus going to make them catch it. That's all I'm saying, right? Like, I don't really blame nobody for whatever effort. Like, early on in this, dude that worked the desk in my building, I went down there, man, he looked like the Shredder with that mask on. I saw somebody with a mask on, man. It looked like that thing had 6x9s on it. Cats are just getting whatever mask they possibly can. My mom at the crib right now, stitching up some masks. She says she gonna send some to the crib.
That's the hardest part, is keeping black mamas at home. Because my mama, if they hadn't closed the campus at Miles College in Birmingham, my mom would still be going into school because she loved them kids.
We finally got it done with my mama. It took some work, but we finally, like, made the point.
Bro, I had to yell at her. Like, I ain't never yelled at my mom like that before. Like, screaming. Like, it was like Independence Day when Jeff Goldblum was calling his daddy. Talking about, I'm telling you, the ships is going to attack.
I had to outsource that to my brother because my brother's 13 years older than me. So, like, she listens to him. She don't listen to none of us. She don't listen to my brother. She don't listen to my sister. She listens to my brother. So, like, we outsourced it to my brother, and my brother got it done. And that actually reminds me, I've been watching these, you know, these Cuomo interviews and stuff. It all made sense once I realized that Andrew Cuomo is 13 years older than Chris. I was like, oh, everything about this makes perfect sense now. Like, yeah, Chris is the kid who came up after they got money, right? Yeah. Like, when Mario Cuomo was governor for the first time, Chris was 12 and Andrew was 25. Andrew went to Fordham undergrad. Chris went to Yale.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, oh, this all makes sense now.
Called him a mama's boy on the air. With endearment, but you could tell there was a sprinkling of resentment. Like, yeah, you always were mom's favorite. And, you know, she told you that. This is when I knew he was mad. He said, mom gave you this recipe to a special sauce. I don't even have that recipe.
Keeping in mind that Andrew is the middle child. Right? What you realize that Andrew is the middle child. Like, all of that makes sense. They clearly grew up in different neighborhoods, right? Like, once you hear them, Andrew clearly grew up in, like, the neighborhood, and Chris grew up in the governor's mansion.
Yeah, two totally different lifestyles.
Whole other game.
But, you know, but you're an Italian man, and they don't tell you the recipe to mama sauce? That means mama don't rock with you. He hurt.
Yo, have you watched those videos of the Italian mayors telling people to stay inside?
Yeah, that's what we need in America. We're too polite.
They got a totally different tone over there. That was my thought. Like, the fact that you could talk to these people like this.
The dude was screaming at the people. He said, "You're going to get your hair done. Why? Who are you going to go see? You just go back home. Stay home." You seen in India where they hitting people with the sticks?
I did. I was a little torn.
Indian police pull up on your ass. They don't even ask for ID. They just start mollywhopping.
Yeah, there ain't no First Amendment in most of these countries. By the way, them Italian mayors, Andrew Cuomo makes a lot more sense in that context. Like, Andrew Cuomo is very close to talking to people that same exact way. He's got the same kind of, what are you doing right now, tone.
I tried to leave some parks open. You wouldn't listen. So I'm closing all the parks. My mama never gave me the spaghetti sauce recipe. So no one can go to the park now. Because he was jawjacking with de Blasio. Because de Blasio was saying something different. And I don't know. I'm just ready for this thing to be over. You know what I need Netflix to do? I need Netflix to drop something else so everybody can shut the hell up about Tiger King. Because I don't get it. I understand why everybody's in love with it. But I don't know. It's not one of them, oh my God, can you believe this?
Well, here's what I think they did a great job of on Tiger King. They ended every episode with such a good cliffhanger. Like, every time it was just like, all right, I guess I got to roll this thing over again, right? And I think that was a big part of it. Like, it was interesting to think that all these people think that they are normal. That was the part that got me, is like the utter lack of self-awareness of all the people who are involved here. None of them think they're crazy. We all think they're insane.
The thing about Tiger King to me is that nobody got rich. Everybody.
Carol kind of got rich.
Carol, how though?
Not off the Tigers.
Not off the Tigers. You talking about the life insurance?
I'm just saying, right? her man was rich, and then her man died. And so she, ergo, got rich and then married this other dude.
Yeah, Carol killed one dude, then married a simp who should have been asking better questions about what happened to your last relationship.
That's what I'm saying. If your husband just turned up missing, I can't marry you.
Fam, you cannot marry a woman who don't know where her ex is. Like, even if y'all don't talk no more, you should just at least know what, like, every woman knows, even if she hate him. We don't talk anymore, but he lives in Portland with that other heifer.
Well, also, sadly, because of the stakes out here in these streets, it's a good idea for a woman to know where her ex is, because you never know when he gonna do some Jason Voorhees and just turn up.
Yeah. You know, man, somebody asked a good question on Twitter. If you got a secret side family right now during quarantine, how do you check on them?
Ooh.
How do you sneak and send the money?
What is your story?
If you ain't making the cash.
Yeah, that's a good question. What is your story?
Bro, just to leave the house during quarantine, do you understand the excuses you need to have to leave the house right now?
What is your story? Huh?
Exercise. That's the only thing that's going to get you out the house. But if you got a woman that's decent, the first thing she's going to say is, let's go jog together. So you still can't go check on your side family.
No, and by the way, what you going to do, stop in for 5 minutes?
You got to.
You got it, but you got to stay for longer. That's the problem. You can't just be like, all right, let's check it up.
You could send money for a while, but depending on what you do for a living, you may not have the same cash flow. If you work in a disposable income, if you work in one of these jobs that's connected to just hanging out. So I don't know, man. I pray for those brothers. I think about them every morning when I get up. I think about how fortunate I am.
Yeah, well, it's like the ones that are trying to pull this off, like, I feel like in a lot of these two family situations, there's at least one family who knows, right? Or one woman who knows.
Correct.
The one who don't know, it's a tough game. Tough game.
Yeah, right? One woman knows that it's a two-player situation, yes. Two-quarterback system.
Yes, there is one who knows.
You'd rather it be your wife just so she'd allow you to go check on the kid for the kid's sake.
Well, hold on now. What makes you think they aren't both the wife?
Now, see, now you're getting into some stockbroker level cheating. That's like that TV show they had on Fox where the dude had a family in Dallas and a family in Houston.
Yes. Like, do they both know your real last name?
Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Here's a bigger question. They're suspending rent. Should they suspend child support and alimony payments?
And see,
I'm unemployed and I ain't got it. They said that if you owe back child support, you can't even get the $1,200 from Trump.
Yeah. So I must admit this, that I understand why everybody wants rent suspended. Right? I get it. I also own a house that I rent to people. and so, like, the idea of rent suspension, I was down to suspend the rent if the rent needed to be suspended, right? So, like, I sent the, hey, how you guys doing over there email. Just wanted to see how you guys were coping in the face of, you know, global catastrophe.
You sent the y'all gonna have my money email?
It never got to that point. They told me they were doing okay, and I got the notification right on time on the first that I had gotten my bread, right? Like I'm in a situation in that house where it's not a big deal. Like, if I needed to work with them, I could have done it, you know, all this stuff. Totally get it. But I also recognize that not every landlord is a management company, right? Like, not every landlord is just out here running this. And some of these landlords are like, you ask some of these landlords, so how do you make your money? I rent houses to people. Right. And so for them, they're like, cool, if you want me to suspend the rent, that's fine. But whoever I got to pay got to suspend that too. And I do imagine that a lot of those landlords that are paying all these mortgages are having those suspended. I'm just saying, my homie Lance told me in his apartment complex that they sending out job listings on the listserv.
Oh, no, go excuses. Get my money. Go no get excuses. My money. That's cold blooded, bro.
Hey, man, look, they'll evict you. They'll evict you the first month you don't pay the rent. We all know that.
Well, it's still about, I think, 10 or 15 states that still ain't suspended rent. Like, I know Alabama's one of them. Alabama's like, no, you got to have me.
Yeah.
Have me on the first. I just want to know what sheriff is going to come up in here. Because if you're going to evict me, I'm standing at the door coughing. Come on in.
Well, it's funny because as you described this, the sheriff is coming to a lot of these states with people packing heat.
That too.
Right? A whole lot of states where if you ask people, this isn't the full-on truth with them, but if you ask them, why do you have those guns? Because one day the law may try to come and take my house.
Take my land. Yep.
That's why they got the heat. Sheriff ain't enforcing none of these orders.
You saw them Airbnb people bellyaching too. But some of them Airbnb renters, they've been running game for a long time. Like, I know it's one cat who's been illegally renting out. Like, he has 14 apartments that he's flipped into Airbnbs, which is against the lease that you sign with those apartment complexes, that you don't turn this into an Airbnb. Right. So he still owes rent on like 15 damn apartments.
No sympathy. No sympathy for them. I got no, like, you tried to run a hustle, right? That's all this is. You tried to run some game and you did not look out here and realize, oh, this game's not going to work. Like, this idea, I'm going to buy a bunch of houses and then Airbnb them out, right? There's a lot of like serious long-term consequences of that for the economy, but I ain't got no sympathy for those people.
I do think if you owe back child support, you should still get your stimulus check from the government, but just take a pinch the same way you do with any other money you touch, because you got to have something to live on. Because I feel like if people owe child support and you just take everything away from them, all they're going to do is go underground, and then the children aren't going to get anything. So keep them close to the system. Here's a little something. Go get you a sandwich. Don't get a Big Mac. Get you a cheeseburger. Don't go big time. And make sure the kid gets the rest. So I hope they would do that, but you know, I don't know.
The IRS operates on that premise, by the way. Basically, you can't go get our money if you can't, like, if your car breaks down and you can't get it fixed, you can't go get our money.
Correct.
Right? Like, the IRS is not trying to, like, break you because they know that you need money to get money. The problem with the child support thing is when it gets to these points, it's a whole lot of questions as to how we got here in the first place.
Yeah, I just know it's going to be a lot of sideways dudes using that Rona as an excuse to stop paying child support. And I just hope that that doesn't happen, because how do you police making money in this new chaotic unemployment system that we're going to be falling into. Because
I bet the child support office got a giant stack of why I ain't got it applications. Right? Because a whole lot of these dudes get themselves in trouble where their income changes, like athletes, this happens. Their income changes, they don't go for the change of child support, then it turns into its own problem. They ain't about to have that problem this time, man. Them applications are being, I bet they are flying off. Those PDFs are being pulled down at a rapid rate.
Do you think NBA players are scared that their side chicks are going to out them during these tough times?
Yes.
Like, seriously, like, you better send us something. I need my nails. I need to look good.
Well, and also, man, people just tense, you know, like people doing bad right now, man.
Folks going to get shook down, man. I'm just saying the shadiness is going to go up. Crime. We ain't even talked about the ripple effects of what this is going to do on the criminalistic side of things. Stomachs ain't rumbling yet. When them stomachs start rumbling and that May or June, it's time we might evict you notice start coming around. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need you to give me this, this, and this, or else I'm going to tell your wife about that time. And now you sitting here trying to figure out how to send $50,000 on Western Union.
Without nobody knowing. Yeah, without nobody knowing. Like, chill out. Give me till Wednesday.
At least in the NBA, you got a house big enough where you can sneak and take a call. But if you're a 12th man, and you in that two bedroom, you ain't got nowhere to hide.
Right. You all minimum salary playing for the Knicks. Your place is not as nice as mine.
You shouldn't even have no side chick. You get what you deserve.
Right. Right. Let me tell you, you playing for the minimum and you on the Knicks. I know where your crib is. Look like I like to call Hoboken. You're on the path trying to get to 34th.
Why are you so disrespectful to these players, man?
I'm not. I'm just telling people what the income situation is in New York. Like, I think the minimum in the NBA is something like $500,000. And please understand, $500,000 is a lot of money. If you meet somebody in New York City that makes $500,000, let me tell you what they do not look like. Somebody who makes a lot of money. Let me tell you what their crib is not going to look like to you. The crib of someone who makes a lot of money. It means something different here.
That's $80,000 in Tennessee.
That's not inaccurate.
It's like, oh, you're doing all right. Everything's okay. Got a yard. Got a little shed out back. Two-car garage. $80,000 get you a two-car garage with your credit score. Every day I think about my New York rent and I think about what my mother's mortgage is. And I cry. And I've told my girl, and I've already told her to prepare for this. I'm like, yo, the Daily Show is still on the air. We're still making shows right now, thankfully. But if this Rona get crazy, you're going to need to learn how to make cheese grits because we going down south. We getting the hell out of here while there's still a little money in my back pocket where we can go somewhere where it can stretch. And this boy going to have a front yard. He going to have him some black friends and he going to meet some white boys named Ocean and River.
Hey, let me tell you this too. This is, I'm not saying this is a bright side, but this is a thought here. These New York landlords going to have to get their minds correct though. After all this happens, they are not going to be able to play this game like they've been playing it with people before.
Oh, they had already said they stopped broker fees. If you don't know what broker fees are, let me tell you what this is, America. This is where you pay a plug who helps you find an apartment that you could have found your damn self. And you pay the broker the equivalent of a month's rent. So you're basically paying first month's rent twice to move into a place. Broker fee. Hey, Bo Money, I found a spot for you that was listed publicly, but I found it for you. So give me some money.
Yep. Just open the door, push it open. You'll take it. All right, cool. 15%, right? But all this, like I was thinking about it, man. Like if you was thinking about moving or whatever it is, you stuck in your crib, like your landlord, you got all the leverage right now with the landlord.
Yeah, I've thought about that.
Who you gonna move in here?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Who gonna come in here? Who right now is in an economic situation to move into whatever your apartment is? Who has money for movers right now?
You know what I've thought about doing is if somebody in a bigger unit moves out because they broke, is just trying to get that free upgrade like Delta. Hey, man, let me get that lie flat seat up there on the 20th floor. let me get set because I know you lowering the rent. Yep. I know you lowering the rent on that unit, and that unit's going to be the same as what I'm paying here. So if that's what we're going to do, then let me move upstairs right quick, fam.
Why not? Why not? We see, we put them up on game right now.
Yeah, that's going to be the move. So if you live in a two-bedroom, negotiate a three. You live in a three, get the four. Get the wraparound balcony.
Do what you can. Yeah. Make it happen.
But you got to do it like back in the day when you was thinking about canceling. I don't know if you ever fake canceled your cell phone. Yes.
I have fake canceled, not the cell phone, but I have done it. I have fake canceled my DirecTV.
Every 2 years, I call them fake cancel. I get free accessories. I get a free phone upgrade. I've been with Sprint since 1998. Ain't never left. But every 2 years, I call and keep them on their toes. So you got to do the same thing with your landlord. Yeah, we're not going to be renewing. We're thinking about, we saw a cheaper place that gives us more. Well, we'll give you more space for the same price. Oh, will you? Well, let me consider it. Okay. Thank you very much. I like my wraparound balcony and my soaking tub, please.
I really would like to have a soaking tub.
That's what my girl want. I bet you if I proposed with a soaking tub, she'd want that over a ring.
That's the thing that I want. That's the, I've looked like this. Self-care, ladies and gentlemen, is very important. But also, ladies and gentlemen, I thank you so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. Roy Wood, my man, thank you.
A pleasure, man. Tipyourwaitstaff.com if you want to help the wait staff of comedy clubs across the country, man. And Laugh Aid will be going down Saturday on all Comedy Central channels.
There we go. Also, want to say thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to ZipRecruiter. All right. Remember, subscribe to The Right Time. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. And I'll talk to you guys in a couple of days. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones Podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.